When Melanie and I moved to the parish at Te Huna Nui in Nelson, we were very blessed. Just before we were due to go there, the parish decided to build a new house for the minister and family to live in. And the old manse, the old house, was adjacent to it. So we were able to look and see as the new house was being built for us. At the start of the build, one evening when the workmen had gone, we went out for a bit of a look at the timber framing to get an idea of the concrete floor that was about to be laid. And as we did that, Melanie suddenly noticed that actually the foundation was too small. So we went and had a look at our plans and tried to measure things out. And it turned out that they had actually made the foundation too small by about 4 meters or so, and it would have taken out one of the bedrooms or made them the bedrooms into just the size of cupboards. And so they were able to come back and change that before the concrete was poured. But it's very important to have the right foundation when you're about to build something. As we come to our text today, and as Ian has read it for us, we remind ourselves that the first people to receive this letter lived in the classical era, with the Greco-Roman temples in their towns and in their cities, large and small temples, new and old temples. We call them ancient ruins when we see them today, but to the people of Peter's day, many of these were quite new, and people were able to see them not as we do as ruins, but in a sense in their glory being used, places that were active. Herod's temple in Jerusalem had only been completed 20 years before Jesus' birth. So when Jesus' disciples were admiring the grandeur of the temple, it was a relatively new building. Some of the people in those days would have actually seen the temples being built, stone upon stone. And so they were much more familiar with the imagery that Peter uses. The stones, the columns, the arches of the temple were all very familiar to them. In this letter, Peter points to a simple truth. Jesus, the living stone, provides a firm foundation for our identity as Christians and gives us a sense of belonging in the family of God. So today we look at Jesus, the living stone, who is the reason for our hope. In our family time, we were thinking about the Ebenezer stone, the stone of help. This monument was set up by Samuel about 1,000 years before Jesus' birth, to commemorate a victory over the Philistines, and it stood there, unmoving, set in place, to remind people of the time that God had helped them. In a sense, Jesus is our Ebenezer, our stone of help. However, Jesus is not a monument stuck in one place, but the living stone, dynamic and active. Jesus is the cornerstone upon which the whole church is built. He is the foundation of our spiritual life and our relationship with God. Peter wrote, "As you come to him, the living stone." And as we do come to Jesus, then our lives and our lifestyles change. Part of the problem that Peter is addressing in this letter is that when people converted to Christianity, they became social misfits. They no longer fitted into the norms of their society. It was as if they had become square pegs and so could no longer fit into the round hole of the expectations of their society. They no longer went to the temples to worship. They didn't join their families in the religious feasts to the gods. They no longer had that association with the temple. So the question for them became, where do I fit in? Where do I belong? Where can I find my security when so much has changed for me? And I'm sure there will have been times, at least for some of us, when we have sat in family gatherings or among our non-Christian friends and had this strange sort of feeling that we don't really belong there anymore, because your change of values, your change of beliefs and actions, well, that means you're not the same person you once were. In a sense, your spiritual center of gravity has changed and shifted you out of alignment from where you had been in your previous way of living. And Peter knew this about the people he was writing to, and he wanted them to understand their new identity and where they truly belonged in the family of God. Having spoken of Jesus as the living stone, Peter then says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." You also, not just Jesus, not just the apostles, not other people, but you also are part of this living and dynamic new temple that is being built. You are built upon Jesus, your Savior and Lord. You are connected to him. You do belong in this spiritual temple, not as an outsider, but as one of the very stones in the fabric of the building. You too are becoming part of the dwelling place of God. And this is truly wonderful when you think about what it means. You're not a visitor to this temple. You are built into it. You are not a misplaced square peg, but a stone that has been chosen by God, put in place by the Master, secure, stable, belonging. Peter links this image back to Isaiah 28:16 in the Old Testament, where we read, "For in the scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Some versions say there, the one who trusts in him will never need to panic. And so Peter makes this connection between the people of his day, between Jesus the living stone, and the saying in Isaiah for a very important reason. The people of Israel believed that these words in Isaiah were speaking about the Messiah that they were looking for. They believed the cornerstone spoken of here was an image of God's anointed king. The Jewish converts to Christianity would have picked up on this quite quickly, but Peter takes the time to help the Gentile converts understand this historic spiritual reference to the cornerstone. This is not just any old stone found in a quarry. This is the stone chosen by God. This cornerstone is tested, precious, sure, and reliable. It's tested and found to be without fault. It is precious because Christ is so valuable. Sure, meaning immovable and solid, and reliable as in trustworthy. All this is true of Jesus. So imagine the comfort these words would have brought to those early Christians who felt that they were misfits. This is assurance to them that their trust in Christ is not misplaced. It was assurance from an ancient prophecy. It reinforced the truth that Christ is reliable, that he could be trusted. It was to help them see that they were part of something much bigger than themselves. Not a building of stone that would eventually crumble, but a building of living stones formed as a dwelling for God. Peter acknowledges while this stone is precious to those who believe, it causes others to stumble. We're not going to dwell on this today, but it is obvious that Jesus was rejected by the Pharisees and they stumbled over him and his teaching. Jesus was opposed. The apostles were opposed. Now these early Christians were facing opposition and rejection. You, in our day, may have encountered opposition or rejection because of your faith in Jesus. It's important to know that this cornerstone Jesus isn't universally loved or accepted, and neither are those who associate with him. In light of this, Peter goes on to make one of the greatest statements of Christian identity that you will find anywhere in the Bible. He says to these people who feel like misfits, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Once they were not a people, but now they had been chosen by God. And this is true of us. You belong. You are chosen by him. These are corporate descriptions, initially applied to the people of Israel, but now they find new meaning as we, the church, find our identity in Christ. The fact that you also, like living stones, are being built into this spiritual house underlines the reality of our identity and our belonging. Jesus, the living stone, lays the foundation, and we are united with him, with our brothers and sisters, each being built into this spiritual house. This can also be translated, build yourselves. An active rather than passive sense, that we play a part in doing the building. And as we do so, are we building with materials of gold and silver rather than the hay and stubble of life? But what difference does this make to us? Here we find Peter helps us to understand the long history that is around this idea of the Messiah as the cornerstone. And this informs our understanding of who Jesus is by giving us another image, the monumental living stone of help. He is our spiritual foundation, laid sure and true to give us stability. This image also helps us to reimagine our relationship with others who are also part of this faith, because we are being built together into this spiritual temple. Together, we are the people of God. God has made a space for us to be in his eternal temple, which means you belong to God, and we together belong to God. When we see these sort of words from this side of eternity, we might not write such a glowing description of the church. But when God looks at the church, he sees people he loves, chosen, royal, holy, special. Even in these lockdown days, when we can't meet together in person, when our connection to our church family may be stretched and tested, still we belong together in Christ. And so perhaps today, you could take some time to consider your spiritual foundation, to reflect on Jesus and the strength that he provides for you. Perhaps to take time to think about how we are building our lives. Paul asks us, are we doing this with deeds of gold and silver, with costly stones, or with wood, hay, and straw? How are we building? And if we are being built into a spiritual temple, What are we doing to strengthen our connections one with another? Let us determine to work together, building this spiritual house where we each belong. And we do all this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.